Tonight's share is devoted to Inyanei Tisha B'Av. Many different days throughout the year we fast commemorating tragic events pertaining to Churban HaBayis. But yet, Tisha B'Av uniquely is marked with a certain sense of stringency, urgency, a sense of Chumrah. Tosfos and Ramban comment that this was not always the case. The fact that Tisha B'Av is so much more Chumur, for example, than Shiva Esrei B'Tammuz, was not always a given. The Gemara tells us in Megillah and Daf Hei Amud Beis that Rebbe Bikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av, that Rebbe wanted to uproot or modify the way that we commemorate Tisha B'Av. Tosfos immediately is bothered by the following difficulty. How could Rebbe attempt to change a Takanas Nevi'im? We know that Ein Bezdin Yochel Levatel Bezdin Chavero Elim Kein Godol B'Chochma V'Minyan. And if that's true, how is it possible for Rebbe even to modify the original Takanas Nevi'im? The Tosfos Yeshanim in Megillah Daf Hei Amud Beis answers as follows. In fact, if you look in the Pasuk in Zechariah, in Perechez Pasuk Yetes, Son HaRevi, Son HaChamishi, many different fasts are mentioned corresponding to Churban HaBayis, and yet it would appear that they're all on an equal footing. We don't find that Tisha B'Av is highlighted above and beyond, for example, Shiva Esrei B'Tammuz. Tosfos Yeshanim comments that the original Takanas Nevi'im was in fact that all of them were on the same level. In fact, Tisha B'Av originally was a day of an Isser, Achila and Shtia, but the association of all the various additional aspects of Tainus. For example, the Chameshis Inuyim, that was not part of the original Takana of Tisha B'Av. Tosfos writes that in fact was a later Takana to elevate Tisha B'Av to a higher, more stringent standard of observance because of the many tzaros that befell Knesset Yisrael at this particular time, but that was a later Takana, and therefore that is what Rebbe felt could be modified. The Ramban in Torah Sadam also agrees that initially the Takanas Nevi'im did not distinguish between, for example, Tisha B'Av and Shiva Esrei B'Tammuz, but the Ramban explains the opposite of the Tosfos Yeshanim. Originally, all of those days, not only, for example, Tisha B'Av, even Shiva Esrei B'Tammuz was considered to be a very stringent fast that had associated with it all aspects of Inui as well, that we normally associate with Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. However, in the time of Bayisheni as a later Takana, then the stringency of the other fast days was reduced, and Tisha B'Av remained because of its stringent nature in terms of the original Takana. Both Tosfos and the Ramban admit that originally one could equate Tisha B'Av with other fasts of the year, but whether that was one that reflected all of the Inuyim, or whether it was simply Achila and Shtia, that is the machlokas between Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ramban. Why is it that Tisha B'Av for us is considered to be the stringent fast of the year in reference to all the rabbinic tanyasim that we have, observance of Churban HaBayis? The Ramban writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam comments the very end of Maseches Tainis, that there are two different elements that blend on Tisha B'Av that don't apply any other time of the year. Number one, Tisha B'Av, the Rambam writes, is a day of Avelus. And number two, the Rambam writes, Tisha B'Av is a day of Tainis Tzibur, Kiyom HaKippurim. What is driving all of the observance, the commemoration of the day of Tisha B'Av itself? The Rambam writes two distinct factors. Number one, there's an element of Avelus. Number two, Tainus Tzibur, comparable to Tisha B'Av. That's not true at any other time of the year. There's sometimes that we have Nihugi Avelus, but it doesn't have the status of Tainus Tzibur. On Yom Kippur, of course, that's the Tainus Tzibur Midaraisa, but it doesn't have elements of Avelus. After all, the Rambam implies, Reb Chaim would often comment, there's a mitzvah daraisa of simcha, even on Yom HaKippurim. If the definition of simcha is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then lifnei Hashem titaru is considered to be an ultimate time of simcha, as the Mishnah tells us. So whereas Yom Kippur is Tainus Tzibur without Avelus, and then there are times that we commemorate Avelus without Tainus Tzibur, Tisha B'Av uniquely is a blend, a fusion of these distinct elements. It's a day of Avelus, It's a time of Tanis Tzibur. We refrain from eating and drinking, obviously, because Tisha B'Av is the day of Tanis Tzibur, like Yom HaKippurim. However, the Isser of Limud HaTorah, or Yeshiva Al Gabi HaKarka, or the modifications of Hanochas Tfilin, that is not a function of Tanis Tzibur, but rather that is the result of the element of Avelus. And therefore, the Rambam writes, the unique place of Tisha B'Av as a combination of Avelus and Tainus Tzibur as one. Rav Soloveitchik once commented that this is clear in terms of the Kriyas HaTorah as well as the Haftarah and Tisha B'Av. The Kriyas HaTorah and Parshas V'Yeschanan, the theme is Tshuva, B'Tzar L'cho Mitzaucha. The theme of the Haftarah from the Navi Yirmiyahu, that is Avelus. That blend, the two Kiyumim, the two Halachos of Tisha B'Av, the Rav would often comment, is evident in the Kriyas HaTorah as well as in the Kriyas HaTorah. Minchas Chinuch writes the following Chiddush in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, that when you point, for example, to Achil and Shtia, eating and drinking, that's a function of Tanis Tzibur. As mentioned, Yeshiva Al Gabi HaKarka, the Isser of Talmud Torah, that is a function of Avelus. What about the Isser of Rechitza? That on Tisha B'Av one is not allowed to wash. Here Minchas Chinuch writes the following Chiddush, that is driven by both elements. An Ovel is forbidden to wash, there's Nisra Chitza, as part of Nihugi Avelus, and also on Tanis Tzibur such as Yom HaKippurim, there's an Isra Chitza. Minchas Chinuch writes, and this is also a Chiddush that B'Skarav develops in Ochus Tainis, the Isra Chitza on Tisha B'Av is a perfect example where you blend the two aspects, the two kiyumim, of the Chaloshem Yom when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Rechitza is driven by Avelus, as well as by Tainis Tzibur of Chamesha Sinuyim. And Cheskina Chava writes the following exception. On Yom Kippur, even Lahoshit Etzbo B'mayim is Asur. Even to dip one's finger, one's hand in cold water, that is considered to be forbidden. Even Rechitzas Mitzes Aguf, part of the body. What happens if Rachman Letzon, a person is an Avel? Rechitzas Mitzes Aguf is not always Asur. Their Rechitzas Kol Haguf is considered to be this sir. And therefore the Minchas Chinuch writes the following Chiddush. If a person will wash part of the body on Tisha B'Av, then he violates the element of Tanis Tzibur. Rechitzas Kol Haguf on Tisha B'Av, that is not only the element of Tanis Tzibur, but also the element of Avelus as well. So therefore Minchas Chinuch writes, two halachos, with rechitza as a model of the two halachos with merge, with the difference is rechitzas kol aguf and rechitzas miktas aguf. And then Minchas Chinuch writes a further chiddush. You find Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Amad, discuss the following issue. Tavkuf Ayin Gimel, what happens if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos? We know when it comes to the elements of Tainas Tzibur, so Tainas Daraisa, such as Yom HaKippurim, of course, is Dolche Shabbos. A Tainas Darabanan will not be Dolche Shabbos, and therefore Yom Kippur falls on Shalabbos. The elements of Tainas Tzibur, they are deferred to Sunday. What about the elements of Avelus? We know the Gemara tells us in the very beginning of Maseches Ksuvos that Dine Avelus can coexist with Shabbos. Yontif and Avelus cannot. As Tosus comments, Yontif has a mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha and Avelus cannot coexist, and therefore it's necessary for one to take precedence over the other. The Gemara in Moikot and Daf Yadal and Abayz, that Osi mitzvah the Rabbim, Vedochi mitzvah the Yachid, Simcha takes precedence over Avelus. Certainly not true when it comes to Shabbos. Shabbos is always all the minyan shivitz, one of the days of Avelus. That's what Tosus comments, there is no complete mitzvah of Simcha on Shabbos. It's true that we don't have overt Avelus on Shabbos, Vmilsa Devarhesya, but Dvarim Shebetzina, in the privacy of one's own home, those elements of Avelus exist even on Shabbos. And therefore the Ramah comments, in a case where Tisha B'Av will fall out on Shabbos, it's true, Achila and Shtia, which contradict Shabbos, that will be postponed until Sunday. But certain elements of Avelus, of Dvarim Shebetzina, can apply even on Shabbos itself. The element of Avelus, that can exist on Shabbos, even though the Tainus Tzibur will be delayed until Sunday. So not only two kiyumim that merge on Tisha B'Av, but the possibility of Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos, of splitting off elements of Avelus from the time of Tainus Tzibur. What about, for example, washing in that particular case on Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos? So Minchas Chinuch explains that Tainus Tzibur forbids even washing part of the body. Avelus only forbids washing kol haguf. So therefore, on Tisha B'Av Shechalios B'Shabbos, if Dvarim Shetitzinah should apply, one would not be allowed to wash one's entire body, but washing Miktas HaGuf would be allowed, because that is a function of Tanis Sibur, that is deferred until Sunday. Mashen came the element of Avelus that exists even during the day of Shabbos itself. But this is the uniqueness of Tisha B'Av, these two halachos, Avelus as well as Tainus Sibur. That Rambam in Pirush Mishnayis, the very end of Maseches Tainus, writes a further chiddush that links Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. We know the Gemara tells us in Yuman Daf Pe'alef, a theme that we've discussed many times, there is a mitzvah daraisa of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. A person is obligated to begin Yom Kippur early. Its source, the Gemara tells us the pasuk, V'nisim es nafshaseichem, Batisha l'chodesh ba'erev. It's as though the Torah tells us that we begin the fast of Yom Kippur already on the 9th of Tishrei. Is that true? The Gemara says absolutely. Haschel lotzum l'hisanos mibod yom. A person is obligated to be mosif mechal hakodesh to begin Yom Kippur early. The Gemara tells us that this is a din daraisa, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara in Yuman Daf Pe'alef Amar Aleph, as well as the Gemara in Beitz and Daf Lamed, is explicit. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is a chiyuv min HaTorah. What we've discussed in earlier shiurim is what about the continuation of the Gemara? The Gemara tells us, based on the very end of that pasuk, Tishbisu Shabbatchem, that the mitzvah of Tosefes does not only apply on Yom Kippur, but there's a mitzvah of Tosefes on Shabbos and Yantif as well, and that is a basic machlokes Rishonim, Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yantif. Is that a din daraisa, or is that only a din derabanan? Magen Avraham writes, we assume halacha that even Tosefes Shabbos is a din daraisa as well. There is a ruah raya. The Gemara says that Rav Tzalisha Shabbos, Berev Shabbos, and Makadesh. Rav used to make Kiddush early on Friday afternoon. How could he do so? Kiddush is a mitzvah min haTorah. The Gemara brachos davchav, shvuos and davchav. If Kiddush can be made before Shkia, before Tzeisach HaChavim, it's only because of Tosefes, and that's an indicator not only that Tosefes Yom HaKippurim is min haTorah, but even Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yantif. If you understand Tosefes to be a halach in Kedusha Sayom, whenever there is a Kedusha Sayom, the Torah tells us that we demonstrate our eagerness, we anticipate that Kedusha Sayom by beginning early, we understand very well, not only limited to Yom Kippur, but it applies even on Shabbos Yantif as well. I've mentioned many times that the Rambam does not mention at all the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yantif. You look through all of Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam makes no reference at all to any obligation of beginning Shabbos Yantif early. The only place the Rambam indicates a mitzvah of Tosefes is when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. In Hilchos Shvi'is Asar, the Rambam writes, Haschel lotzum ulihis anos mibod yom. Even a further chiddush. If I were describing the mitzvah of beginning Yom Kippur early, I would have said that during a given window of time before Shkia, a person is obligated to refrain from all of the Chamesh HaSinuyim, but also Malacha, not to engage in Malacha during that time. The Rambam only mentions Tosefes Inui, not Tosefes Malacha. It's as though you get the impression from the Rambam Shita that the mitzvah, Lahosif Mechal HaKodesh, is to begin the fast of Yom Kippur early, but not necessarily to begin all elements of Yom HaKippurim. Again, we assume la halacha that is not the case. We assume la halacha a person begins the Kedusha Sayom Ibol Yom, and that applies on Yom Kippur, it applies on Shabbos, it applies even on Yantif as well. But the Rambam only emphasizes Tosefes Inui. If it's only Inu, you understand very well why the Ram does not mention Tosefes Shabbos and Tosefes Yantiv. It's not a halach in Malach in Kedusha Sayom, but rather a halach in Inuyim, and therefore the Rambam writes Yom Kippur, yes, Shabbos Yantiv no. The Magen Mishnah writes, Perek Dalev Hilchos Chanukah. According to the Rambam Shita, it's not simply that there's no obligation to begin Shabbos early, but Magen Mishnah writes, according to Rambam, Lo Matzino Kabbalah Oseres. You don't even find a vehicle of Tosefes that one should accept Shabbos early. That's what the Magid Mishnah discusses, which one should be fulfilled first, Hadlokas Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah. We normally assume that, look, if with Ner Shabbos a person is accepting upon themselves Shabbos, so therefore first Ner Chanukah, followed by Ner Shabbos, Magen Mishnah points that according to the Ramban Shita, Lo Matzino Kabbalah El Seres, you don't find that Halakha Saneros makes it into Shabbos, there's no vehicle of Tosefes, and therefore if you want to know which should come first, Shabbos or Chanukah, why not assume the principle of Tadr v'sheino tadr kodem, and therefore Shabbos before Ner Chanukah. The Chiddush of Magid Mishnah, according to the Rambam, it's not just there's no obligation of Tosefes, but lo matzinu kabbalah oseres. Why is that true? The Rambam apparently understood the pasuk. V'nisim es nafsho seichem, batish lo chodesh be'erev. The halach of Tosefes is not halach in Kedusha Sayom, but rather V'inisim es nafsho seichem. To put it somewhat differently, Tosefes is a halach in Tainis Tzibur. Tosefes is not a halacha of Kedusha Sayom. And therefore the Rambam writes Yom Kippur, yes, but not Shabbos and Yantiv. Any other point, any other indicator to bear out this great Chiddush in the Rambam, that Tosefes is a halacha in Tainis, in Inuyim, not in Kedusha Sayom, that Rambam, the very end of Maseches Tainis, Pirush HaMishnayis, when the Rambam tells you the dual aspects of Tisha B'Av, a day of Avelus, but also comparable to Yom Kippur, the Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah lahosif mechol HaKodesh, on Tisha B'Av. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnayis. It's Aloch in Tainis Tzibur. It doesn't apply on Shabbos and Yantif. But on Yom Kippur, as well as Tisha B'Av, a person is obligated to begin the Inuyim Mibod Yom. A very great Chiddush. The Rambam does not mention this in Mishnah Torah. In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Tainis in Perakei Halach Yud, when the Rambam discusses part of the stringencies of Tisha B'Av, the Rambam stresses that Ben Hashmashos is also when it comes to Tisha B'Av. But the Rambam does not go that step further and tell us that above and beyond Ben Hashmashos still, there is an element of Tosefes. But that's the Chiddush of this Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis. You understand very well, if it's Aloch and Tainis Sibur, comparable to Yom HaKippurim, so therefore just as we are Mosif Mechol HaKodesh, on Yom Kippur, the same applies when it comes to Tisha B'Av as well. When it comes to Yom Kippur, it's obvious to all of us that the elements of the fast are a critical aspect, but nonetheless, only an aspect, one of the elements of Yom HaKippurim. If I were to ask you to characterize the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Kippur, certainly you would mention the Tainis, but that would not be an exhaustive list. There's a concept of Kedusha Sayyam when it comes to Yom HaKippurim. Is there a comparable concept when it comes to Tisha B'Av? Hard to speak about Kedusha Sayyam. Let me ask you the following. Is there a Chaloshem Yom? Is there a status that the day has on Tisha B'Av above and beyond the Chamesha Sinuyim? Or are they simply one element of the special status of the day of Tisha B'Av itself? Fascinating Kshuvas Samsofer and Simin Kufnun Zayin. Samsofer deals with the following issue. Let's assume a person is ill, and it's necessary for that individual to eat on Tisha B'Av. Can that person be Ola Torah? Can they receive an Aliyah on Tisha B'Av? Samsofer explains that in a given year, this happened to himself, that he was unable to fast on Tisha B'Av because he was a chola, and the practice was they always used to accord him an aliyah. Could he receive the aliyah on Tisha B'Av when he was eating and drinking during the day? Because he was an Ogei B'Davar, see, he wrote the tshuva, but he sent it to the Bezdin of Pressburg in order to sign off on the Psak Halacha, in order to affirm whether in fact he could be Ola Torah or not. Samsofer writes three different reasons why he feels that one can receive an aliyah, even if machmas choli they are eating on Tisha B'Av. One is the following. Just as on Yom Kippur, for example, there's a concept of a Kedusha Sayom, there certainly is a Chaloshem that Tisha B'Av has, a status unique to this day, above and beyond the Isser of Tainis. In this sense, the Ksam Sofer distinguishes between Tisha B'Av as opposed to Bahab, because that's where the Mechaber writes, Tavkuf Samach Vav, quoting the Maharik. Let's assume, for example, a person is not fasting on Bahav. See, he cannot be accorded an aliyah if he is not fasting. He's not Bichlal HaTainis. Some Sofer explains that very well. When it comes to Bahab, there is no chaloshem yom, there is no status of the day. It is simply a day of in isra achila in shtia. And if a person is eating and drinking as we do on Bahab, it doesn't have a unique status other than a simple average day of the week. When it comes to Tisha B'Av, some Sofer writes, certainly that's not true, and therefore, even if one is eating or drinking, still there is a status that the day has, comparable to Yom Kippur in a sense of Chalo Shem Yom, and therefore a person can be Ole Torah even if it is necessary to eat and drink. Argument 2 of some Sofer, there are many different restrictions on Tisha B'Av. Eating and drinking is one, but also many other inuyim. What about Shari Nuyim? A person who is a chola who must eat and drink, but still who refrain from Nila Sasando, and refrain from Sicha, and Rechitza, and therefore Shar Inuyim also is sufficient in order to consider the person Bichlal Hatainis. Argument number 2. Chassam Sofer continues a further Chiddush. Let's assume, for example, a person must eat on Tisha B'Av. And now a person takes care of that need, no longer is he in that state of chola. What about the balance of the day? He should continue eating or not? Some Sofer writes that it's clear, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, that a person who must eat will do so, but then for the balance of the day, he should continue and fast. He should not eat more than in fact is necessary. An interesting chiddush. And therefore, if that's true, good, there was a window of time that he ate, but nonetheless, he is still considered to be bichlal the tainis, because for the balance of the day, he will refrain from achil and shtia, and therefore also he is considered to be included in the tainis sibur. Those are the three arguments Chassam Sofer puts forth. Again, that there is a status of the day independent of achil and shtia and inuyim. Number 2, shar inuyim renders an individual bichlal ha-tainis. And number 3, even if a person has to eat for a given window of time, nonetheless, he would remain refraining from achil and shtir for the balance of the day, and that is considered to be sufficient. Interesting chiddush. The Mechaber writes even more when it comes to Yom Kippur, we obviously know that's the Sugyan Krisos, the Sugyan Yuman, the Pebez Amr Aleph, Pachos Mikashir, Machino Hakala Kalpchila, and Yom HaKippurim. If a person has to eat, there we insist on shiurim. A person should only eat the bare minimum. Amish pachos mikashir. It's an interesting issue that Achronim raise. Is there such a halacha when it comes to Tisha B'Av of pachos mikashir? The Chazon Ish writes in a very, very different context. Chazon Ish writes in Shvius, in Simin Zayin, just the following ha'ara. If there is a common halacha, not a nusa de lo shliach, but a common halacha which frequently should apply, which is not mentioned in the poskim, so therefore that is considered to be the greatest hochacha yesera mikol harayos. That is the greatest raya, the raya of omission. Now, when it comes to Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, Tafrei Shirches, the Mechaber writes, a chola must eat pachos mikashir. Earlier, in Tavkuf Nun Dalid, when it comes to chola and Tisha B'Av, the Mechaber does not mention anything about pachos mikashir, but rather the exceptions when a chola does not fast. Again, the Chazon Ish doesn't write this as an example, but it is a ha'ara that one would have expected the Mechaber to tell us explicitly that there is in fact the halach of pachos mikashir in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, not just simply to mention so later when it comes to Hilchos Yom HaKippurim. But these are the observations. Again, the Chassam Sofer does not write you have to eat pachos mikashir. The Chassam Sofer just simply writes that when you eat whatever you are necessary, whatever is required, then for the balance of the day you continue and fast. But this Tshuvas Chassam Sofer is against Ravi Kiveger. Ravi Kiveger in the Tshuvas in Simen Chof Dalid doesn't discuss Tisha B'Av. But it's clear from the Tshuva that he would not agree. Ravi Kiveger discusses a different issue. What about on Yom Kippur? A person who must eat on Yom Kippur, can he be accorded in Aliyah? Now, according to Chassam Sofer, the answer should be a resounding yes. Now, of course, now when it comes to Yom Kippur, there certainly is Kedusha Sayom. And there certainly are Shari Nuyim. On Yom Kippur, it's absolutely explicit that a person is eating Pachos Mikashir and is obligated Midaraisa to fast the balance of the day. But yet, Ravi Kiveger does not invoke any of those arguments to maintain that one who is eating is allowed to get an Aliyah. Ravi Kiveger assesses this issue from a slightly different perspective. What is the Mechayiv of the Kriya Satorah? Why are you leaning on Yom Kippur? After all, Yom Kippur is Tainus Sibur, but there's also Kedushas Hayom. What is driving Kriyas HaTorah? If the Mechayiv of Kriyas HaTorah is a function of Kedushas Hayom, then a person who's not fasting can still get an Aliyah. If, however, it is Noveya, it emanates from Tainus Sibur, then a person who is not fasting cannot get an Aliyah. Rabbi Kiviger writes the following. Shachris Yom Kippur, Rabbi Kiviger writes, obviously, there the Kriyas HaTorah is like Shabbos, Yontif, Kedushas Hayom. That is what is driving that element, Kriyas HaTorah. Rabbi Kiviger has the following suffix. What about Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha? Why do you lay Mincha Yom HaKippurim? Is that because of the Kedush of Yom HaKippurim? Or is that because of Tainus Sibur? There's always a Kriyas HaTorah. Mincha and Tainus. Or one could argue, no, we don't lay Parshas Vayichal, we lay Parshas Harayos, and perhaps that indicates not just a detail in Kriya, but perhaps the Kriya is rooted in Yom HaKippurim, not rooted in the fact that Yom Kippur is a Tainus Sibur. So Rabbi Kiviger writes, when it comes to Shachris, yes, there the Mechayiv is Kedushas Hayom. When it comes to Yom Kippur, that's the Safek. It's clear, Rabbi Kiviger, if you were to lay Vayichal in the Kriya Sator would be Tainus Sibur, then you would not be able to get an Aliyah. That is different from the Chivas Ksam Sofer. The only basis of allowance of Aliyah is if the Mechayiv of Kriya Sator is Kedushas Hayom, not the fact that it's a Tainus Sibur. Rav Soloveitchik once explained, Machlokes Mechaber in the Ramah, how do you end the Haftorah, the Brachos of the Haftorah from after Yonah? Do you end with Magen David, or do you end with Ala Torah V'Alavoda? The Mechaber writes, you add the Brach of Ala Torah V'Alavoda. The Ramah writes that no, you end with Magen David. What is that Machlokes? Rav Soloveitchik suggested, that's the issue. What is the Mechayiv of the Kriyas HaTorah and Haftorah? When it comes to Mincha Yom Kippur, if the Mechayiv is Yom HaKippurim, Ala Torah V'Alavoda. If the Mechayiv is Tainus Sibur, that's the Psak Halacha of the Ramah, the Me'ashkenaz, to end Magen David, to demonstrate his Tainus Sibur. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik commented, two different Minhagim. What shrub do you use when you lain, right? Kriya Sator Yom Kippur Mincha. The most common practices we have is to use the Vachedika shrub. No, why is that true? That's the Megan Ashkenaz L'shitosei. No, to end the Haftorah Magen David, to use the weekday shrub to demonstrate the Mechayiv of Kriya Sator is not Kedusha Sayyam of Yom HaKippurim, but rather the Mechayiv is Tainus Sibur, and therefore we indicate that by the trap that we use, as well as by ending the Haftorah with Magen David. Rabbi Kiviger writes, if that's the case, then certainly you cannot be all the Torah. That's against the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer maintains one could be accorded an Aliyah, because after all, Kedushas Hayom, Shar Inuyim, certainly even if a person eats, he's not allowed to continue and eat. But again, a fascinating chiddush that the Chassam Sofer develops, there's a concept of chaloshem yom for Tisha B'Av as the yom tzara for Klal Yisrael, independent of details of Inuyim. And therefore, a person is still considered to be bechlal hatainus, even if it's necessary, because the person is ill, that he has to eat and drink on this given day. One of the elements that demonstrates also the halacha of Avelos is the Isser of Talmud Torah, what the Gemara tells us in Tainus on Daf Lamed. Even though, of course, that each day of the year one is obligated to involve oneself in the Torah Hashem, mitzvah of Liman HaTorah, certainly there is a marked difference between Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av as opposed to Talmud Torah any other day of the year. Here, after all, the Braisa tells us in Tainus and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph that one is only allowed to learn those areas that invoke a sense of avelus and a sense of tzara. Otherwise, the person is not allowed to engage in Limud HaTorah. It's very interesting. There are two possibilities as to why that should be the case. Rashi writes in that sugya in Tainus and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, this is what we always assume. This is what the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch. That's because Pekudi Hashem Yesharim, Misam Chelev, Torah always invokes a sense of simcha, and therefore that form of simcha is inappropriate when it comes to Tisha B'Av. And therefore, because of the simcha associated with Limud HaTorah, that's why Talmud Torah, in fact, is forbidden. In fact, the Brais and Tainus and the Flamen Amud Aleph has the following detail, the Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. Is a person allowed to learn a chelak of Torah, eino ragil, that he's not proficient in at all? The Tanakama says the following great chiddush, that look, if it's an area of halacha that you are familiar with, that you enjoy, that is considered to be forbidden. If it is something that eino ragil, if it's something that you're not accustomed to, and you know, picking up a Gemara and learning a sugya for the first time may be a frustrating experience at first glance, not something that necessarily invokes immediacy of simcha, therefore the Tanakhama writes, that is mutter. And Tisha B'Av, a very great Kiddush. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that the Isra of Talmud Torah, Yisum Halacha, applies not only to a Davar Haragil, but even a Davar She'eino Ragil. What is the reason of the Tanakhama? If in fact the reason that Talmud Torah is forbidden is because of Simcha, a Kiddush. That just like one can distinguish between different areas of Torah, if a person will read about Saros, that Rachmanu Litzlan befel Knesset Yisrael, that is considered to be mutter, that is not something that is associated with Simcha, the same is true of a chelik of Torah that a person is not at all well versed and not familiar with. And why is it that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees? One could suggest several different possibilities. Aruch HaShulchan writes, it's because every aspect of Torah has an element of simcha, even if it's eino ragil. The Taz in Shulchan Aruch, in Tavkuf Ein Daled, writes the following chiddush, that it's true that sometimes you'll open up a sugya for the first time, and maybe the first time you read through it, you don't feel the full sense of simcha. It's hard, simply understanding the meaning of the words and the phrases of the Gemara. But certainly there is a simcha lachazman. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that Asru tchilaso mishum sofo, that since ultimately it leads for a great sense of simcha, that is why limud haTorah is forbidden, even learning something which the first time you will do so, because eino ragil, will not bring about immediate simcha. And then the Taz goes a step further. This is Rabbi Yehuda Shita say. The Gemara Moi Katan Daftes has another machlokas, Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, seemingly nothing at all to do with this issue of Avelus, but the opposite is true. On Chola Moed, a person is obligated in a mitzvah of simcha. The Gemara discusses the following. Women applying a certain type of sid, a certain type of cosmetic to their face, where during the time of application it can be somewhat of a painful process, but afterwards it is something that they enjoy. They enjoy, they benefit from the result, but not necessarily the applications. The Tanakhama says that shouldn't be done. It's a painful experience. One should not engage in that practice on Chol HaMoed. And Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that is mutter. Why is that mutter? Because of the simcha lachar zman. The Taz writes here, Nochos Tisha B'Av, that we don't view simcha in the immediate sense, but rather in the broader window of time, and therefore limud haTorah always is replete with simcha lachar zman, therefore it's forbidden on Tisha B'Av, and that's exactly why Rabbi Yehuda says that applying that type of cosmetic is allowed on Chol HaMoed, because after all, that is labeled as simcha lachar zman as well. The Marsha suggests a fascinating chiddush in Tainus and Daf Lamed, that one of the reasons for the Isra of Talmud Torah is not just simply because of simcha, but rather because of Hesach Hadas. A person is not allowed to do anything on Tisha B'Av that will divert their mind from the Avelus. The Gemara tells us, for example, on Daf Chof Tesla Beis and Tainus, that Kvisa, laundry, is forbidden on Tisha B'Av. Why is that true? Rashi writes explicitly, because a person who is engaged in a foreign practice, laundry or business on Tisha B'Av, that's not usher because of simcha, that's usher because a person cannot be misir dato vipnei havelos. The Marsha suggests in Tainus and Daf Lamed, maybe that's what's driving the isra of limud haTorah. Limud haTorah will divert someone's mindset from the essence of the day of Tisha B'Av, and even without the element of simcha, limud haTorah, in fact, is considered to be aser. It's interesting, when you look at that b'raisa in Tainus and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, yeah, but the b'raisa calls the pasuk of Pekudi Hashem Yashar Misamche Be'ev, the simcha associated with limud haTorah. The Marsha has a fascinating diuk. When the b'raisa discusses gedolim, adults, who are not allowed to engage in limud haTorah, the Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk of Pekudi Hashem Yashar Misamche Be'ev. What is the context where the b'raisa finally cites that pasuk? Mevatlin tinoko shel beis rabban. The cheder shouldn't meet on Tisha B'Av. What's wrong with the cheder? No, the children are not allowed to be Messiah Das Vitnei HaVelos. The young children don't experience the entire Chalosh Shem Yom of Tisha B'Av. That's where the Braisa says, Mishum Shenemar, Pekudi Asam Yishori Misam Chelev. The Marsho's diuk is the element of Simcha is necessary when it comes to Ketanim. We don't want to rear them. We don't want to teach them elements of Simcha and Tisha B'Av. But for a Gadol, the reason Limanat Torah is considered to be Asr, of course, is because of the element of Hesach Hadas. So therefore, everyone agrees that most of the Kopis of Kol HaTorah Kula off limits during the period of Tisha B'Av, with in fact exception of those sugyas, those halachos, the Machaber explains in detail, that elicit a sense of pain and anguish, explain the significance of Churban HaBayis, that one learns on Tisha B'Av. A fascinating issue. The Kaf HaChaim, it raises this safek in Tavkuf Nundalid. We know that normally one is not allowed to engage in Liman HaTorah, but those areas, the halacha, one is permitted. Let me ask you a simple question. You're permitted to engage in those areas, and what's the next step? It's a rishus? Or should one go the next step and argue that no, if there are areas that one is allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you must learn on Tisha B'Av. There's a mitzvah d'arais of Talmud Torah every day of the year, including Tisha B'Av as well, and v'gisa b'yamam v'layla. Tisha B'Av is no exception. That was not an akiras d'avim in HaTorah. At most, all the Chachamim did simply was limit the domain. Whereas normally, mashlib chachafetz, that's not true when it comes to Tisha B'Av. Or could one argue, an even greater chiddush, that there's no chiyuv of limud HaTorah during the day of Tisha B'Av itself. Since that which we are allowed to learn is so constricted and so limited, therefore perhaps there's no such mitzvah on Tisha B'Av itself. One could raise the same issue, Rachman, with someone who comes to a person who's in Avelus during Shiva. Is there a mitzvah d'arais of Limud HaTorah? It's just a davar cannot learn A, he must learn B? Or could one argue that there is no mitzvah, no chiyuv, kiyum certainly is, but no chiyuv of Talmud Torah for a person who is in a situation of Avelus. The Kaf HaChaim writes that this is a machlokes achronim. Whether all Chazal did was limit the domain that is accessible to us, or more than that, that there's no chiyuv of Talmud Torah on the day of Tisha B'Av itself. If you look at the Ritva, Moed Katan, Daf Tezvav, the Ritva is explicit. The Ritva is bothered by the following. There, the Sugya tells us that an Avel is obligated in all mitzvos, with the exception of tefillin. Tefillin, of course, is referred to as a pe'er, an adornment, the pasuk in Yechezkel, pe'ercha chavush alecha, and therefore it's inappropriate for one who is novel to adorn himself. And therefore, all other mitzvahs, yes, however not tefillin. The Ritva raises the following kasha. An avil is only potter min ha-tefillin. I'll give you another example, the Ritva writes. An avil is potter mital Torah. That's his kasha. Why is that not mentioned in the Braisa? And what's his answer? That ein lemeidim min haklala safilu b'makom shnei ben chutz. You're right. The Braisa is not an exhaustive list. There's another case. Tefillin is not the only exception. Talmud Torah is a further exception as well. That's the first teretz that Ritva Kasha. A chiddush, that there are limits in terms of not just what we may learn, but rather even in terms of whether there is a pervasive mitzvah of Limud HaTorah on the day of Tisha B'Av itself. That's the chiddush that the Ritva writes, Moed Katan and Daf Tezva. The reason that there is an iser of Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av, we mentioned two different aspects. Number one, simcha, pekudi Hashem yishar misam chelev. Number two, an element of hesech hadas. However, one additional aspect of this prohibition could be the following. What is it that caused the Churban HaBayis? We know the Gemara tells us in the Dharman Daf Pei Aleph that this was the question that the Nevi'im were asked, even Malachi HaSharis were asked, Alma of the Haaretz. Why is it that there was a Churban HaBayis and Eretz Yisrael was taken to an extent from us? And the Gemara answers, Al Shlo Berchu B'Torah Tchila. Because Knesset Yisrael did not recite Birchas HaTorah. What does that mean? The simple mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah is what caused the Churban HaBayis. The Ran writes that Lo Hayu Divrei Torah Chashuvin B'neihem Shlo Osku Ben Lishma. B'nai Yisrael didn't value Limud HaTorah significantly. They didn't involve themselves in Torah Lishma, and that is what has caused the Churban HaBayis. And perhaps that is one of the reasons that we refrain from Limud HaTorah and Tisha B'Av, not just simply because of Hesach Hadas or the element of Simcha, but it reminds us of what in fact caused the Churban HaBayis. Al Shlo Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't recite Birchas HaTorah. They didn't excel in the significance of Limud HaTorah. There's a beautiful comment that the Alshech has, where he writes as follows. The Gemara Nedarim tells us, Al Shlo Berchu B'Torah Tchila. That's the reason for the Churban Bayis Rishon. We know the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of cardinal averos, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of elements of Sinas Chinam. Why does the Gemara attribute Shlo Berchu B'Torah Tchila as the cause of the Churban HaBayis? And in fact, as the Taz raises in the Sin Berchas HaSim Mem Zayin, what was the secret? After all, the Gemara says the Nevi'im, the Malachim, were unaware Alma of the Ha'aretz until Kadosh Baruch Hu provided the answer Al Shlo Berchu B'Torah Tchila. The Alshich gives the following mashal. But imagine if there is a person who commits an offense, and he's Moreh B'Malchus, and therefore, right, the person, right, is summoned before the court, and he is given a capital sentence. The person is to be killed. And just about as that sentence is to be instituted, all of a sudden the Melech, right, comes to that court, and he beseeches the court at least to temporarily commute the sentence. Why is that true? The mashal of Al-Sheikh is the following. The Melech comes and says, look, it may very well be this person committed a capital offense, but realize that he is my musician. Whenever I become angry, he's the one who always soothes me. He is the one who plays his harp, and he is the one who is able to be ma'orer, that sense of midas harachamim. And therefore the Melech beseeches the court simply to have a stay of execution, not to put that person to death. The court listens, right, to the request of the king. A window of time passes, Al-Sheikh writes, and now that person is no longer able to play his instrument before the Melech, and therefore he no longer is able to be ma'orer, that sense of rachamim, nor able to appease and assuage that Melech. Now all of a sudden the court comes and says, look, you are guilty of a chiyuv nisa. The sentence was subject to a temporary stay because of that role that you played, but now that you no longer do so, now the sentence, in fact, will be enforced. Al-Sheikh writes the following chiddush. It's true. The reason for the Churban HaBayis was because of the averos of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, but kol zman that Knesset Yisrael were osek b'Torah Lishma, that was the beautiful music to the ears, kaviyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that lifro sheniyachol, that he couldn't separate himself from the Limud HaTorah of Knesset Yisrael. Once, however, as the Gemara tells us, shelo berchu b'Torah tchila, Knesset Yisrael failed to excel in areas of Limud HaTorah, failed to, as the Ran writes, to be osek b'Torah Lishma, then those averos again resurfaced, and that was the very essence of Churban HaBayis. That's the chiddush that Al-Sheikh has. The role of not only the averos, but the primacy of Limud HaTorah and our kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps if Tisha B'Av is a day of avelos, and a time of Tanis Sibur, one which is marked by that sense of Hester Panim, it is not incidental at all that there is an Isser of Limud HaTorah on that particular day, because after all, what more overt illustration of a sense of Hester Panim can there be than a prohibition that doesn't allow one to unveil himself to Shmoser Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Osek in the Torah Hashem. This is one of the elements that one must stress during the time of Tisha B'Av itself. Part of the difficulty we have on the day of Tisha B'Av in relating to Churban HaBayis is the difficulty living in Golos, but living in a Golos which is not fraught, Rachman Litzlan, with a sense of persecution, living in a sense of freedom, being able not only to survive but to thrive in Golos. It's hard for us to be able to fully appreciate and to experience the Chalos Shem Yom of the day of Tisha B'Av. You know, the Psukim and Navi even describe that during the second Beis HaMikdash, there were two generations that were present for the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. The younger generation was Mali Simcha. This was building Beis HaMikdash. The older generation were still alive, having witnessed Bayis Rishon. And they saw, as the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Chaser Hey, that so many elements were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. What for us was a time of great Simcha, for them was an Eis Tzara, because they realized how, in comparison, the Kedusha of the second Beis HaMikdash paled to that of the first. For us, who never experienced a Beis HaMikdash or a Voden Beis HaMikdash in any sense, how difficult it is to be able to fully experience the proper sense of what it means to be an Avelus during the time of Tisha B'Av. The Chizkel Abramsky once explained the following, read in the Kinos, Archuban Beis HaMikdash, Asher Hudash V'Asher Sorav. Poshup Shat means the following, we mourn the Beis HaMikdash that has been destroyed. No, Al-Khurban Beis HaMikdash Asher Hudas means that no, not only is the Beis HaMikdash taken from us, but even the Khurban Beis HaMikdash has been reduced to nothing. We don't even experience the sense of what it means to be without the Beis HaMikdash, having never witnessed that sense of Simcha. Two Ha'aras that perhaps can make this a more real experience. How is it that we can fully relate to the sense of Churban HaBayis? The Midrash Eicha, the very beginning of Eicha, the very second Pasuk, Bacho Sivkeh Balayla. The Midrash tells us the following story, that Maisa B'Shchenta Shiraban Gamliel, there was a woman who was a neighbor of Rabban Gamliel, Shemesa Beita, who lost her daughter at this time. V'haya Bacho Kol HaLayla, and she was crying the entire night over the loss of a child. And the Midrash tells us, V'haya Rabban Gamliel Boche Ima Ad Shenashru Ritze Einav. Rabban Gamliel cried with her at the result of that tragic occurrence, personal suffering, Rachman L'Slan, the loss of a child, Ad Shenashru Ritze Einav. That's the Midrash. And B'chol Sivke Balayla. A simple question. How does that relate to Churban HaBayis? What is the lesson of that Midrash? And I'll even tell you the opposite is true as well. We're all familiar. No, they got it from the very end of Makos. Now, Rabbi Akiva is able to see the Churban HaBayis, and yet, v'hayu mitzachek, right? And he's able to laugh at the Churban because he saw in suffering, ischalta de geula. And therefore, if the Churban HaBayis occurred, this is already an indicator that soon we'll experience the nevuah of Zechariah, the Bayis HaShlishi. What is that nevuah of Zechariah that Rabbi Akiva is referring to? So Zechariah tells us the following. If I were to ask you, think of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Bayis HaShlishi, what would your vision be? Immediately what seems to come to mind is Yerushalayim HaBanuya, Beis HaMikdash, Avoda, the Kohanim doing Avoda, the Levim, B'Shiru V'Zimram. No, the vision of Zechariah Hanavi of the Bayis HaShlishi is Zekenim, Zekenos, Rechovos Yerushalayim, the older generation, simply walking the streets of Yerushalayim, Yeladim V'Yeladas Misacha Kim Rechovoseha, young children playing in the streets of Yerushalayim. One could raise the very same question. What does that vision, that image, older generation walking in the streets, younger generation playing, experience the serenity of Yerushalayim, what does that have to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash? The answer of both the Navi Zechariah and the answer of that Midrash Rabbah is the following Chiddush. What does the vision of Rachmana Litzlan, a person who loses a child, have to do with Churban HaBayis? Or what does the vision of children playing in the streets have to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash? You know what the answer is? It has everything to do with Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not just simply an opportunity of avoda. Churban HaBayis is not just simply cessation of avoda. Churban HaBayis means golus hashrina. It means hester panim. Binyan Beis HaMikdash means gilui shrina. It means hashras hashrina. The lesson of the Navi Zechariah and the lesson of that Midrash Eicha is exactly that point. If you're going to limit Churban HaBayis and Binyan Beis HaMikdash merely to the realm of Avoda, it's going to be hard to relate to the avelos of Churban and the simcha of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. But if you see everything in life as a function of Churban HaBayis Hester Panim, as a function of Binyan HaBayis and Hashras HaShchina, then one can relate to a time of Tisha B'Av. That's the Chiddush that the Midrash Rabbah tells us, that even Maisa B'Shchen Tisham Gamliel, that is what we mourn on Tisha B'Av, as a result of Churban HaBayis. And the vision of Beis HaMikdash is the peaceful serenity of children playing in the streets. That peace, that sense of security, that is what we await in a time of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. This is what we must be mindful of during this time. Not merely the element of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, which is critical, but Binyan Beis HaMikdash and Hasras HaShchina means that life will be replete with that sense of simcha, and that is what we commemorate during a time of Tisha B'Av as well. Rav Asher Weiss once explained that that pasuk in Zechariah, in Ches Yates, that tells us that Son Harvi and Son HaChamishi, these are days of terrible tzara, but yet they will become great days of sasam v'simcha, and the pasuk continues, v'ha'emes v'ha'shalom avu. One must love emes, truth, and also shalom. What is the meaning of that conclusion of the pasuk? Rav Weiss explained not only that element that I mentioned of the personal suffering in terms of Churban HaBayis, but the following. The end of that pasuk is a t'nai. That's a precondition of our ge'ula. We experience terrible days of suffering, that son haravid tzomar chamishi, and we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that these should be times of sason and simcha. However, that will occur as long as ha'emes v'ha'shalom ehavu, as long as we pursue and as long as we love emes and shalom. Emes, because after all, the Gemara tells us, Torah's emes, shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. That's a reference to that Gemara in Nedarim Adav Pe'alef, shelo berchu b'Torah tchila. If a person involves himself in emes, in divrei Torah, if one is osik l'Torah lishma, but also shalom. After all, if the reason for the churban of the second Beis HaMikdash was because of sinas chinam, so therefore ha'emes v'shalom ehavu. In order to see to it that there will be a binyan Beis HaMikdash, we are all required to pursue those two elements, emes and shalom, corresponding to the factors that destroyed the first and the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara tells us in the Dharma and Daf Pei Aleph, Shlo berchu batora, but it adds one more word, tchila. Shlo berchu batora. What is shlo berchu batora tchila? They didn't initially recite berchas haTorah. The Sefer HaChinuch has a fascinating comment. It's found in a very different context in the mitzvah of berchas hamazon, mitzvah Tav Lamed. Sefer HaChinuch writes the following. There are two different brachos that we have that are brachos daraisa, berchas hamazon and berchas haTorah. What links both of those brachos, the Ramban explains, both are birchos hodah. Birchas hamazon certainly is a birchas hodah. The same, the Ramban writes, is true of birchas haTorah. Birchas haTorah also is a birchos hodah. The Ramban explains, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift of His Torah, for Kabbalah haTorah. It's not a birchas haMitzvah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but rather the Ramban writes explicitly in the end of Sefer HaMitzvos, a birchas hodah, for having been given the Torah Hashem. Sefer HaChinuch writes, when do you recite a Birchas Hodah? Over Lasi Asan or Lachar Asi Asan? Normally, a Birchas Hodah, Lachar Asi Asan, V'chalta V'savata U'veirachta Hashem Elokecha. Eat, be satisfied, then you can thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sefer HaChinuch writes the following Chiddush. That's only true when it comes to physical enjoyment in the realm and the plane of Gashmias. Then the Torah tells us that, you know, a person can first enjoy and then you recite a bracha. Not true when it comes to the Torah Hashem. It's insufficient, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, that a person will involve himself in the Torah Hashem, a person will be inspired, a person will hear a moving shir, and then he'll recite the Birchas HaTorah. No, the Hodah for Kabbalah HaTorah must be a precondition, must precede one's Limud HaTorah. When it comes to physical pleasure, no doubt, a person can experience and then recite a Birchas Hodah. Not when it comes to the realm of Torah. The Birchas Hodah, that perspective, Asher Bachar Banu, that is something that must precede every act of Limud HaTorah. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes to explain why it is that Birchas HaMazon is La'achar Asiyasan, Birchas HaTorah is over La'asiyasan. With this in mind, Al Shalom Berchu BaTorah Tchila, may very well, Birchas HaTorah was recited. But if in fact, as Ramban explains, Lo'haya Chashuv B'nayim, they saw the pursuit of Torah as a pursuit of everything else in life. A person can enjoy, a person can experience, and then acknowledge. That's not true when it comes to Birchas HaTorah. Birchas HaTorah must be Ovel Asiyasan. Al Shlo Berchu BaTorah Tchila, that was an indicator that in fact, they didn't fully enjoy, they didn't fully appreciate the significance of that sense of the spirit, the Chaloshem Yom. One of the marked differences between personal avelos, Rachman Letzlan, as opposed to communal avelos, is the sequence of how it is that we commemorate these days. Whenever we speak about a unit of avelos, so what is the direction of that unit? Does it go from that which is least stringent to that which is most stringent, min hakal hakaved, or is it the opposite, min hakaved el hakal? Do you start out with the most intense avelos, and as time passes, the avelos diminishes, or is the opposite the case? And here, apparently, you see a marked difference. When a person, Rachman Letzlan, is an avelos, so therefore we know that the avelos diminishes. No? The most chamor avelos is that which a person experiences at the time of the Ptira. Avelos Yom Rishon, the Rambam writes, is Daraisa. And the Gemara tells us 3 days of Shiva for the purpose of Bechi, the balance of Shiva, then Shloshim. Right? The avelos tends to diminish. And that is true of the Nihugi avelos. Not true at all when it comes to collective avelos. Here we begin with the period of the 3 weeks, and the 9 days, and Shavuot Shechalbo, and Tisha B'Av, that the Nihugi avelos ascends in its astringency, whereas when it comes to personal avelos, the opposite is true, it diminishes. What is it that counts for that difference? Rosh Weiss explained again the following Chiddush. When it comes, for example, to personal avelos, what is the challenge of avelos? The person, Rachman Letzlan, has experienced a loss. The person is called upon to reflect. The person is called upon to internalize, to come to grips with what he has experienced. A person experiences a given loss, and now one is obligated to contemplate. One is obligated now to reflect on the loss. And therefore, the Nihugi avelos begins with Ptira and then diminishes. You don't prepare for avelos yachid. We're not called upon to prepare. We're not called upon to anticipate, but rather to react, to reflect on the fact. So therefore, the avelos commences with tragic ptira, and then we respond. That's not true when it comes to collective avelos. It's not enough that a person simply responds to Churban HaBayis. Just as, for example, as we began with Yom HaKippurim, you're obligated to anticipate, to prepare for the day of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur doesn't begin the period of tshuva, but rather it begins with Elul in Rosh Hashanah, Aser Yisrei Tshuva, climaxing with Yom Kippur. Because when a person is called upon not merely to reflect and respond, but rather to anticipate, to prepare, to invest one's essence and energy, one's kochos, into appreciating the significance of Churban HaBayis, that doesn't occur by itself. That doesn't occur Yeshmiayin. That requires intense hachana. And therefore, Chazal so consciously paralleled our Nihugi Avelos, almost as a mashal to our experiences in Vayatshuva. Because the Rambam writes Nochos Tainis in Perakei, that is the essence of Tainis. The whole purpose of Tainis is to be Ma'orer Tshuva. That is not something that can happen Yesh Miayin. That is something that only can be accomplished if a person anticipates and prepares and then awaits that time and that experience. And therefore, the Nihugi Avelos have to ascend, not descend in the sense that they diminish, normally when it comes to avelus of yachid. Let me conclude with one point that I've mentioned in an earlier shir. When I discussed elements of Kedushas Haaretz, I often mentioned the mashal of the Maharil Diskin when it comes to the Eved Nirtza. The Gemara tells us the following. We read in Parshas Mishpatim that if you have an Eved Ivri, and as a result of what he did, right, he is forced to serve as a slave, and finally, right, his servitude is up, and now he has an opportunity to go free. But yet, he decides to continue serving in his role of an Eved. So the Torah tells us, look, he has an option, but Ritzi is necessary. You have to pierce his ear, Vavodu Li'olam, then he serves until Yovel. The Gemara, as you know, in Kedushin, Rashi cites this on the Torah. Why is it that the Ritzi is done to the ear? It must be that somehow this Eved heard something that he failed to internalize, and that's why he's being punished with Ritzia. What is it that this Eved heard that now he pierces here? So Rashi tells us the two days in the Gemara, this is a machlokes to name of the Gemara, either Oz and Shishama lo signov. Didn't he hear? You're not about to steal. And Vaholach ze vegonav, and he went ahead and he stole. That's why he became an Eved. The Nimkar, Bignei Vaso. He stole, he wasn't able to pay back, he was sold into slavery as a result of that theft. So therefore, Oz and Shisham lo signov, then Yiratza, the ear is pierced. Then Rashi quotes a second possibly. No. Oz and Shishama kili bnei Yisrael avadim. Didn't that person hear? You're only supposed to be an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Vaholach ze v'kona odom la'otzmo. And this person went ahead and decided to be an Eved to this particular odom. So therefore Yiratza, his ear is pierced. There's a world of difference between these two reasons. What? Is the parsha for Yitzia only Nimkar b'gnei vaso, or is it even in a case of Mocharis Atzmo? If it's Oz and Shishama lo signov, it only applies in a limited instance where a person is sold into slavery by Bezdin. If it's Oz and Shishama lo, ki b'nei Yisrael avadim, then it applies even to Mocharis Atzmo. But a simple question, whether it's because of lo signov, whether ki b'nei Yisrael avadim, a very simple question. Why is the Ritzia done now? Did he recently steal? Of course not. He stole years ago. Right now, Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, he decided to become an Eved today? He didn't become an Eved today. He has been an Eved for years. If you're going to punish this individual with Ritzia, why not do it either at the time that he steals, Oz and Shisham lo signov, or do it at the time that he opts into Avdus? Why is this being done at this point in time when the person decides to remain an Eved? Maharil Diskin raises the first issue. If, in fact, Oz and Shishama lo signov, why is the Ritzia done now? Why shouldn't it have been done years ago? Isn't that the Onesh? The Nimkar b'gnei vaso. Maharil Diskin answers in his Pirush on Chumash the following. A person steals. He can't pay back. He's being punished for that act of gneva. What is the punishment? The punishment is avdus. The fact v'nimkar b'gnevasa, the fact that he has to serve as an eved, that is his punishment. That's where the story should end. He committed a chait, there is an onesh, and now he leaves. But you know, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us any onesh, it's important that we get the message, that we realize and internalize that this is an onesh. What happens in this case? He stole. The onesh is that he serves as an Eved. All of a sudden now, the sentence is up. He has the time to leave. Ahavti esedoni ishi avani lo etzei chavshi. He didn't see this period at all as an onesh. He saw this, right, as an ideal. Then, Yiratze. Now Ritziam, I'm just going to explain, is necessary because what was intended to be an onesh, it's not seen as an onish at all. The person walks away and he opts in. He wants to stay longer. Ritzia is necessary for the original aver. Now, Diskin writes that a person always has to be mindful of that. If we're experiencing that which is considered to be an onish, you have to realize that that is its message. And if one does not, Rahman al-Itslan, then it will become necessary that a person will be put in a situation that in fact he'll realize that this is an onesh. This is not to be viewed as anything else other than Yisurim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shechter would often comment, we have to be so mindful of this when it comes to Golos. Mipnei chata'enu galino me'artzenu, Golos is an onesh. Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, betuvo v'chasdo, has granted us such freedom in Golos, not only to survive, but to thrive in Golos, that it's so easy to commit the very same chait and mistake of this Eved Ivri, to confuse what is an onesh, which is an ideal. To see Golos not as b'pnei chata'enu galino me'artzenu, but rather to become so comfortable with Golos as a reality that somehow, ahavti esedin yeshivanei, loetze chovshi. Even if we're given the opportunity to do our share to see to it that Golos could come to an end, that somehow we don't feel that we are so compelled, that it's so necessary to be mitzapa liyeshua. In earlier generations, Rachman Litzlan, when they were faced with grim reality of such anti-Semitism, Golos was so real. Being Mitzapa Yeshua was not a Nisayon. For us, you know, celebrating a Pesach Seder, Cherus comes very natural. Experiencing of Avelus is so difficult, you know? And Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah, and Pesach, we don't look at our watch to see, is it chatzos? Is it not chatzos? Maybe at the end of the Seder to make sure to eat the last kazayis, because the time is going so quickly. We want to make sure that we'll eat afikom by that time. Somehow, when it comes to kinos, we're looking at our watch at times with a different perspective to see to it if it's already time to conclude the kinos. Time to see to it that the avelos will in fact begin to diminish. But we have to realize, right, this lesson. And that is that if Rachman al-Itzlan, that because of Chasdei Hashem, we fail to see Golos as an onesh, we risk that there will, Rachman al-Itzlan, be another onesh, like Ritzia of that Eved Ivri, in order that it should be wholly unambiguous that Umipnei Chata'enu Galino Me'artzenu, that this is considered to be a time of Golos. The second question. Right. If you assume that the reason you pierce the ear is because Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, why is it done now and not then? Rosh Weiss suggested a beautiful chiddush. This Eved, true, he was an Eved up until now. And he's continuing and serving as an Eved until Yovel. There's a marked difference between the previous Avdus as opposed to the coming Avdus. Why is it that the person originally becomes an Eved? The Torah describes ki yamul chachicha, a person out of desperation sells himself into slavery. What type of person is mocher es atzma? Right? The Torah mentions a person who is desperate, one who is not successful, one who is down and out, and he sees his only chance in life to become an Eved. Even though certainly that's not an appropriate perspective, but yet the Torah understands that form of thinking. Now a person has an opportunity to leave. Why does he continue to become an Eved? After all, now, not because kiyamu chachicha, but rather, ahavti, esedun yeshavan leitzei chavshi, to become an Eved machmas ava. That is, I described an earlier occasion in that Shiran Kedusha Saretz, to be an Eved machmas simcha, machmas ava, that is a unique relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person may be an Eved to a bustle of a dam. If it's under duress, under dire circumstance, that's understandable. But Simcha, that is uniquely true with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rashi writes in Shabbos, Masugida Peches, that Nasev and Ishmas Kederach HaOsim Me'ava, were an Eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shelo Amanas L'Kabal Pras, Machmas HaSimcha. This also one has to bear in mind. The Simcha of being an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted us such opportunity in Golos, that simply is to give us a taste. If in Golos one can experience such an existence, imagine in a time of a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, what simcha one would enjoy, what simcha one would appreciate. not only in Binyan Beis Hamikdash, but Navi Zechariah tells us, the Zekenim and Zekenos, Yeladim V'Yelados, that's the true vision of the Hakamas Beis Hamikdash. Our challenge is to see to it that we learn that we are Mitzapel Yeshua, despite all the benefits and all the freedoms and all the luxury that we have that makes it difficult to experience a Tisha B'Av, to realize the imperative to do so, to realize and internalize that lesson of the Eved Nirtzah. Bezras Hashem, we should in fact be Zocha, that these days, which are days of Tzara, the time which now is one of Avelus, as the very Megillas Eicha tells us, will be a time, b'mehera v'yameinu, of Kara Alay Moed.